You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on
KISO
88.7
Avalon.
How you doing? This is Ron Truppo with the Catalina Film Society and the Catalina Film Festival. I'm on the phone today with writer, producer, director, editor, Joe Burke, who will be screening his film Four Dogs this Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Hotel Metropole Conference Room. So you can come out and check out his film and see his first feature film, I believe. Is that right, Joe?
That is correct.
Joe, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I am. It's a good day.
It's a good day.
It's a good day. Thank you so much for being a part of the screening series and this interview. It's something that the Film Society members really appreciate. It gets them behind the scenes. And we archive all of these radio interviews on KISL 88.7 FM on their website, and we keep them on our database as well for the Film Festival and the Film Society and the Film Institute for future generations to hear us when we are long gone.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I really appreciate you guys reaching out and having an interest in screening the movie, so thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks really fun. I've had a chance to pre-screen it, so I think everyone's going to like it.
Cool.
I want to ask you kind of how you got into this, considering you wore a lot of hats on this film. But I was checking out your IMDb credits, and when I did, I saw your bio. And the first question that I'd like to ask you, because I know that you're from Toledo, Ohio, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, but
born
you kind of have Chicago, born and raised. Okay,
born
and
raised, and then I moved to Chicago. Yeah, I moved to Chicago after high school.
Okay, but still a Midwest boy.
Definitely.
Okay, I'm curious, you said in the bio, it said that you kind of took your filmmaking passion at a very early age, but, you know, the path that you took was you wanted to go within your favorite filmmakers of capturing those real moments. Who are your favorite filmmakers? What are your favorite films? And what do those real moments mean to you with your work?
That's a good question. Growing up, you know, some filmmakers that really influenced me along the way, Paul Thomas Anderson, I love all his work, but really, like, Punch Drunk Love is a movie of his that I really, really enjoy a lot, with Adam Sandler and Sofia Coppola. Her movie Lost in Translation kind of was a big influence on me when I first saw it. Alexander Payne, his work. Sideways is a movie I love. Cameron Crowe, I love Almost Famous. Kind of these movies that kind of celebrate life, relationships, friendships, kind of capture sort of an innocent in humanity, a nice sincerity, a nice honesty, but done with such grace. You know, these are filmmakers who are writing and directing and telling stories with their own vision and perspective and style, and, you know, and executed so well with such quality and care. I get really excited when I see a movie like that I can connect to, that's, you know, kind of done by a passionate writer-director. These are just some of the bigger ones that have really influenced me along the way, for sure.
Yeah, and I would go further and say the people that you've mentioned also understand the human thumbprint, you know, and kind of what makes the essence of a character come alive from a real person's essence rather than just, something that goes from text to screen and can be caricature or cliche or something. And you know, I think you see a lot of that through line in your movie with Four Dogs. So, you know, hats off to you on that, because I think you accomplished that very well.
Thank you.
They also do a lot of the same thing you do with different hats. What do you prefer? I mean, you direct, you write, you have a lot of credits on IMDb. I'm sure a chunk of them are student credits, but, you know, there's a lot of editing credits. There's a lot of directing credits. There's a lot of, there's even acting credits. There's producing, writing. Where do you really find your passion?
I would say my passion really, growing up, I started making movies very young age. I was, 8, 9 years old, camcorder, backyard with, friends and brother and sister, and making movies growing up. And at that point, I was, shooting them and you know, quote unquote directing them, whatever, you know, as a kid, you know, you're just kind of learning what it all means, but directing them, and then I got to like junior high, high school, I started like learning how to like edit on VCRs before they had the editing stuff software for computers, and I switched over to the computers, and, you know, kind of writing and acting and stuff, and like, so I really kind of grew up doing it all, enjoying it all, and then when I went to Chicago, I actually went to Chicago originally for college to be studying theater. I actually went for acting, and I was going to put film aside for a minute and just do it, like, on my own time. So I did a lot of theater in Chicago for my first year and a half, and then got to a point where I was like, I really missed the film side of everything. So I kind of, I left the theater side and embraced more of the film side, the film directing. And even in Chicago, I made, you know, a dozen, you know, short films that I wrote, directed, produced, edited, really act in my own stuff in Chicago. I kind of was getting behind the camera, although I would act in other people's, other friends' films. But, you know, I mean, I think my passion really, like, lies in the filmmaking process. But, you know, if I had to be very specific, I mean, directing, you know, directing is definitely, you know, working with actors, directing scenes, directing kind of the moments of film, you know, I love directing, I love working with actors, and I love acting. So I'd say directing and acting are kind of my top two things that I really, you know, am super passionate about, but it's kind of all mixed in one, you know. I mean, I like being the writer of the stuff I direct because then I have that kind of voice and passion with what I'm directing, and I love editing because I get to, you know, see the movie through to the end and get to kind of find exactly what we shot on set and kind of, you know, I love editing. I love the editing process. I can stand for days literally just editing. I just really enjoy kind of trying things out and playing with the footage and finding the rhythm and the moments and, you know, telling this, you know, kind of finalizing the writing process really with the edit. And then, as well as, I'm very passionate at acting. I love performing. I love playing great characters. I love, you know, I have a lot of talented director friends out here in LA that have given me opportunities to act in their movies. And it's just really fun for me to kind of embrace kind of falling into a character and kind of, you know, like my work directing, I want to, you know, direct stuff that feels very honest and believable and fun and, you know, heartfelt. And, you know, in my work as an actor, I love to kind of bring that same sort of honesty and performance that I can, you know, find a way to play a character who does feel real, doesn't feel cliche, kind of bring myself to the role, whether it's, you know, in front or behind the camera.
Right. Well, what do you think? That's a lot. And I'm gonna break down a couple of hats that
sure.
you wear, you know, because I have some questions about editing and directing and acting for you. But where do you think you got that initial kind of organic sense, that psychological curiosity to kind of tap into people's brains or kind of really that slant on life where you're, like, looking at people and going, huh, I'd like to capture
that.
That's
a good question. That's a good question. That's a real good question. You know,
well,
I guess I kind of, yeah, it really is. It's a great question. You know, growing up and, you know, kind of making stuff, it was just kind of more so, honestly, as a kid, you watch a movie that you love, whether it's a horror movie or an action movie or a comedy, and you're like, I want to do that. And then you kind of, you know, your films as a kid in the backyard, basically, I'm like, you know, making, you know, Scream, you know, like I'm shooting my version of Scream as like a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, you know, kind of
yeah.
just start imitating movies that you are inspired by. You know, I watch Dumb and Dumber and I go out with, you know, a couple buddies and we shoot a little stupid comedy, or I'm inspired by a Wes Anderson film and then we shoot, you know, some sort of quirky, you know, whatever in that world. And I think that's
right.
just to try a bunch of stuff, kind of find your voice. But, you know, for me, like where I really, like, in college, when I moved to Chicago, I kind of, you know, I mean, I to a certain extent, I kind of consider myself, a voyeur in life a little bit. I mean, I always find myself kind of, or at least, you know, when I was a little bit younger, I mean, as I get older, maybe not as much, but, like, definitely in college and growing up in high school, I kind of always found myself kind of watching other people's, you know, relationships happen around me or friends doing this or, like, just kind of really being an observer to
sure.
life a little bit.
That voyeur observer that
exactly.
kind of takes it in.
Exactly.
But you don't seem like an introvert, though, so you must have two switches.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, a little bit, but I think, you know, I think what happened was I kind of just, like, you know, I never felt like I was participating in life as much as observing it and watching it. And then as I get older, I got to a point where I wanted to very much so start participating more and, you know, experiencing things firsthand, which I feel like, you know, as you just get older and, gain confidence and explore yourself in the world. Like you can do that. So, and it's great. I mean, I think as a, as a storyteller, as a person, as whatever, you want to have those experiences of, not just watching people live life, participating in it all. So I think that's kind of where my crossover happens. But like, in Chicago, I did a couple short films that really became personal projects for me where I would maybe have something going on in my life that I was like, I kind of want to share how I'm feeling right now personally about this issue through film if I can. And I kind of tried that with a couple short films. And I did one short, kind of like my final undergrad film back in Chicago when I was looking at 21, 22 years old. I did a film called Coop's Night In. And Coop's Night In was a 20-minute short film that I wrote and directed, kind of like my final film in undergrad that was just about four friends kind of hanging out one night. And they kind of find themselves, smoking pot in the bathroom, talking about life, and there's a kind of a relationship happening between the main characters, this guy and this girl, find themselves attracted to each other, and it just kind of like it was the first thing I really wrote based on my own thoughts about the world and life, and like I actually was literally trying to think of like, well, what is this film going to be? I had to make my final film. I didn't know what it was, and I kind of found myself like sitting in my friend's, bathroom, smoking with a couple of buddies and just being like, holy smokes, like this, what's going on right here, like what I feel right now in this moment, this is the feeling, this is kind of what I want the movie to feel like. And like, I literally left her apartment and like ran home and like wrote the film like that night. Like I just like, it just like hit me. And I was just kind of like, wow, like to be able to like, kind of like let life imitate art and vice versa. And, it's just been a real pleasure, passion of mine to kind of find a way to capture these real feelings that I feel in life and what I see, and to see if I can really translate that honestly onto the screen. I mean, sometimes, it's harder, harder to do than it's said, but if you can find a way to, successfully take those real emotions that you're feeling in everyday life and present them on screen and share them with the audience watching the movie and having them kind of relate. I mean, I love bringing people together. I think, you can make a movie that has such honest emotion and sincerity and, relatable situations and awkward moments and loving moments, and, heartfelt moments and scary moments and the things that, the viewer of watching the movie can be like, I get that. I feel that. I understand that. And sometimes right. It even opens up the viewer a little bit. You see a character on screen who may be dealing with a similar issue. I ask myself, why do I love Punch Drunk Love? Why do I love Sideways? Why do I love Lost in Translation? I mean, the main characters in all these movies are kind of these lonely guys, kind of, figure out life, figure out love, kind of figure out what's next for them, kind of experiencing moments. And like, I'm just realizing that.
Is filmmaking a cathartic experience?
You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on
KISO
88.7
Avalon.
It's gotta be.
It's
gotta be. I mean, for me, I can't deny that. I mean, it absolutely is. And that excites me. I mean, like, that really excites me. Because it allows me to kind of live a more authentic life, and just like any choices I make, I don't have to judge them, I obviously want to, I have good intentions with everything I do, but like I can embrace living a life of authenticity and sincerity and, being adventurous and like kind of just understanding that like, my life is going to kind of influence my art and, my friends' lives and lives around me and just people in general. I'm just very inspired by people and situations, and like, it's just really cool to like kind of just embrace it all and just let it be what it is. And if something really stands out, or an emotion happens or a story happens that I can then share and tell through my craft of filmmaking, find a way to put my tools to use and share an experience or a moment or a story. Like, it's just very rewarding for me. I really, really enjoy the process.
Sure. I mean, do you ever have the fear of being too honest where you're like, ooh, my mom's going to see this, or people are going to think I'm a freak because I wrote this?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, like, yeah, I mean, of course, I think writing from a personal place, I mean, writing in general is a vulnerable and scary process sometimes, but writing from a very personal place is, I mean, there's no question about that. I think as I get older, I will continue to get more and more honest with myself and more honest with my thoughts and, like, more and more open to sharing what I truly believe and think about all bunch of, topics and situations. And You know, I'm not like, I'm not necessarily scared of saying something, like saying the wrong thing per se, but it's just like, you know, being an open book, you know, as an artist and kind of really opening yourself up, being super vulnerable. I mean, ultimately that's where really kind of the best work comes from and like work that like
sure. Is
super exciting. But I do think it's a place that can be a little scary to explore, sure. And, you know, it's definitely my goal
well,
to
that,
really
yeah,
exploring
it. And I think most artists would say, you know, they're always honest to the work and stuff, but, you know, and you have to be. You have to be in order to have a genuine product come across on screen or through literature or through anything. You know, but then, you know, you have the side conversations with those same artists and they're like, yeah, and then I knew my mom would see it one day. It's like, oh, she's got to see this.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
you don't
in
lose
terms
that
of like
human
mom.
Part of it too.
Exactly. I mean, in terms of like mom, like, I mean, like, you know, I mean, like, I'm very blessed. Like, I have two great parents. I have great parents that, like, you know, really are supportive and open. And, like, so, like, you know, I'm not, I don't have, like, the, oh, my God, my mom's going to see this worry anymore. I mean, maybe
yeah.
when I first started out a little bit, but, like, they've been very great. But, you know, like, I mean,
and
even
they're
like,
oh, Joe, really? A hooker? Really, Joe?
Yeah. And, you know, I got to be honest. Like, you know, I mean, like, you know, you take Four Dogs, for example. I mean, Four Dogs is a, you know, it's my first feature film, and it's a very special project for many reasons. But like, you know, I tapped into like, you know, so my buddy Oliver Cooper, who stars in Four Dogs. I mean, that's his aunt
yeah.
Becca in real life. She's never acted before. That's her house. Those are her dogs. Like,
oh,
I
awesome.
Also got to work with.
Well, let's talk about it before you get into it. Let's at least
yeah.
give people the synopsis that don't know
sure.
what it is, and then we can talk about it. Is that cool?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool. Because then I want to ask you about the other hats with this film. With editing and you didn't act in this one, but even wearing a producer cap is much different than the creative side sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Although you have to be creative. So do you mind giving them the synopsis for Four Dogs?
Sure. I mean, you know, best I can. I always have a hard time explaining my movies for some reason, but basically,
you want to
Four Dogs.
Then?
Yeah, if you want to read it, that'd be great.
Sure. Well, I was giving you a chance, but it's cool. I understand. Sometimes it's really hard to explain it when you're not looking at it. But when you polish something for 20 hours and it's a one-paragraph synopsis, I'll just go for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
In this voyeuristic slice-of-life comedic drama, we spend a week in the world of 22-year-old Oliver, who lives with his aunt and her four dogs in Encino, California. Oliver has more imagination than ambition and spends most of his time hanging out with his former acting class buddy Dan, who's twice Oliver's age and one rejection away from calling it quits. These two unlikely friends pass the days away, cruising around town, eating lunches, and hanging out back by the pool. But when a friend of his aunt's comes to stay at the house for a few nights while in town for business, Oliver's daily routine is shaken up and his sights are redirected towards the new woman living across the hall. Beautifully shot with an eye for the natural and real, filmmaker Joe Burke captures a sincere honesty both in tone and character and brings to the screen a world filled with humor, heart, and those little in-between moments we can all relate to in our own way. I think that pretty much summed it up.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate you reading that. It's easier than me trying to fumble my way through. But, yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's a week-long movie, you know. It is very voyeuristic, as you saw. And really, it's meant to feel very real and natural. Very fun. I want it to be fun, though, too, and have the humor in it. And, you know, just have a fun character piece.
And why this, though? Why the impetus to create this as your first feature? First features are so tough for any filmmaker to do, accomplish, get the financing for, get the production together, edit it. Why this? Why this story?
It's a great question. I would say really, like, you know, after years, I mean, even since graduating college in Chicago, in undergrad, when I was 22, I wanted to do a feature. I mean, I wanted to do a feature. I had no idea what it was going to be. About 3.5 years ago, I wrote a feature, actually wrote a thriller, like a relationship thriller about a boyfriend-girlfriend on vacation called Stolen with my buddy Kevin. My buddy Kevin and I wrote the script, and I was really excited about it. You know, they're on vacation, they go see a movie, the girlfriend steps out of the movie theater to answer her cell phone, she never comes back. And the movie takes place in the course of one night, where the boyfriend Josh has to find her in this strange small town they're in, and it's very cool, but, you know, it was fun to write, and it was a little bit bigger, and it just didn't feel like necessarily what my first feature was going to be. So anyways, a couple years down the road, me and Oliver Cooper, who's a good friend of mine, we collaborated on a couple short films, and basically got to a point where he and I made a short film called Rick White. And Rick White was kind of a spontaneous one-day short film shoot that he and I did with a couple friends, just for fun to kind of explore, you know, just, you know, an idea. And that short film was about a kid who was kind of stuck at home, bored for the day because his roommates were gone and his car was, you know, blocked in the driveway and he couldn't leave. And he ends up kind of fumbling around the house, smoking pot, and ends up, hiring a escort to come over. And that kind of launched the idea for our feature a little bit in terms of tone, style, character a little bit. And I had a year before shooting Four Dogs, I did a little web series called The Lois Levine Show, which you can find on YouTube. It's called The Lois Levine Show. There's like 3 episodes out there. Kind of a hidden little thing that we did. But Oliver plays 67-year-old Jewish woman, Lois Levine, who hosts her own talk show out of her living room. And so, and that character ends up in the feature, as you saw. So, like, that's where the birth of, like, that character kind of came from a year prior, and we shot The Lois Levine Show in his aunt's house in Encino, Becca. So I kind of got to know Becca really well in that process. I showed her house, and then when Albert said, "Hey man, like, let's do a feature. Let's, you know," he kind of said, like, let's do this thing. And I was really excited. Like, yeah, let's totally do it. And we just kind of set a date. Like, in 8 weeks, we're shooting a movie, and we decided that we're going to shoot the movie at his aunt's house because she was very open to it. It's a very loving house, interesting house. Oliver was living there at the time. You know, the dogs are there. So, you know, when you see the movie, you can just kind of feel like this really interesting environment. And I was like, great, like, I was like, great. So I ended up outlining a movie with Oliver that was set around the house. And we kind of tapped into kind of Oliver's existence a little bit. And we asked his aunt, Becca, if she wanted to act in it and play kind of a version of herself. And she'd never acted before, but she was very open to it and does an incredible job. And she's wonderful, and her dogs and the house. And, like, it just kind of became a really great environment to kind of set the story in. And I love movies that take place over a short amount of time. I'm a big fan of movies that take place over the course of, like, a night or a couple days, or in this case, like, you know, 6 days a week. And, it was just, you know.
She's very real. She's very real. I'm surprised to hear that she's not an actor.
Yeah, never acted before. She's just really, she's very real. And, you know, I think that's just, you know, a testament to kind of our approach of how we shot it in terms of, like, you know, really creating an environment where, like, they could just kind of be safe and play around. And we shot it very voyeuristically where we can have camera kind of hidden in the corner of the room and have the, you know, them just kind of play around. And it's really her house. It's really her dog. It's really her nephew.
You hid cameras?
Well, I don't say hidden, but, like, just in the style which we shot it, it's very voyeuristic in our approach. So it's not hidden by any means, but just the idea of removing the camera back further in the room and kind of shooting it in these two shots, these wide shots where, like, you know, the camera's not, you know, we're not doing close-ups. We're not putting the camera in someone's face and saying, deliver this line. We're really kind of setting the camera up just across the room and having the actors kind of interact, and we're kind of watching them like we're a fly in the wall. That was kind of our approach and our style of wanting to photograph. So that'd be more interesting just to kind of feel like we're watching these people kind of live their lives for a week. And I think that also allowed
more
for
natural.
The naturalism. Exactly. So, yeah.
So now, what's your directing style? Because you're obviously an actor, and you at least started out that way, and you...
You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on
KISO
88.7.
I'm sure you still want to continue to act, or at least place yourself where it's appropriate. Are you an actor's director or director's actor?
I mean, I like to think so. I mean, I love working with actors. I love creating an environment where, like, an actor can feel very safe to kind of trust me and trust the process.
How do I do that?
I guess just, like, letting them know that, like, I just want them to really bring themselves to the roles, and I want them to really not try to go for any silliness or any, you know, not try to do anything too big, but just be very, kind of, you know, just kind of create a tone in which I want them to be very natural in what they're doing, and very honest and soft, and they don't have to, I don't want them to ever feel like they have to be performing. It's not like, you know, I don't want them to feel like they're even acting, really. I want them to feel like they're kind of able to just kind of be and, like, just trust that I'm going to capture it in the best way I know how, and that they don't have to worry about anything other than just existing in the moment. And I think, you know, Four Dogs really embraces that existing in the moment mentality, because there are such long takes and moments where, like, they're just doing their thing and we're kind of watching them from afar. And but yeah, I love working with actors, and I love kind of breaking down character and moments and, you know, really exploring every beat and like, would you do this? Would you say this? Does this feel honest? Is this what you would really do? Is this what would really happen?
Right.
You know, if it feels like no, like, I mean, even when we shot Four Dogs, I mean, there was actually kind of another big chunk in the storyline that we ended up on day 11 of 16 of shooting completely rewriting because it wasn't feeling honest. And to a certain extent, it changed the movie in terms of like kind of going from, you know, I mean, there's actually going to be a little bit more of a love story in Four Dogs that ended up kind of being more of just kind of like this interesting, like, quick, voyeuristic romance that quickly happens. But I'm so happy we embraced it because I think how it turned out, it's very interesting. I actually like it more. But, like, you know, when you kind of want to make sure you're doing stuff that feels very honest and real, you know, part of that also means being very honest and real with yourself and saying, is this working? And if it's not, like, you gotta do something else. Like, you don't want to force it.
What are you saying I'm sorry, are you saying you didn't stick to the script, or are you saying you did a lot of rewrites, or did you give them a lot of liberties to kind of do what just felt natural rather than sticking to the text?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, with Four Dogs, like, I didn't write a standard 100-page script. What I wrote was a 45-page outline that had every beat in detail in order, like, very specific, but I didn't write all the dialogue because I knew that I wanted the actors to feel like they could say what they were feeling in the moment. And they knew the topic of the conversation, but also Dan Bacadal, who plays Dan in the movie, is, you know, an alumni of the Second City in Chicago. He's a fantastic improv actor, fantastic actor, period. Oliver's great with improv, and, you know, Oliver's Aunt Becca, who's never acted before, I didn't want to have her worry about saying certain words. I just wanted her to be herself and, you know, be alive in the moment. So it was a really interesting process for me to, like, kind of give the actors so much freedom to bring a lot to it. And, like, I loved it. I would do it again in a heartbeat that way.
So risky, but, though, I mean, to get a non-actor to do improv because...
Well, it's risky.
You don't know
if
they can perform. You don't
know
if they're going to sit there and clam up and think, what do I say next?
Yeah, I mean, I knew Becca enough that I thought she could do it, and she did a great job, and the other actors that came in, like, I kind of knew, like, this was going to work, but I guess, honestly, the riskiest thing is, like, not only did we do a lot of improv, but, like, I didn't shoot coverage, you know, it wasn't like I could, like, really tweak the scenes and the editing so much, because the way I shot it, like, I wanted to have these longer kind of oners, so, There wasn't much manipulation in the edit. I mean, the edit really came down to kind of pacing and tone and where the joke was or where the beat was and kind of, you know, finding a rhythm. Definitely I spent many months finding the right rhythm for Four Dogs. But in terms of kind of manipulating individual scenes, I mean, we didn't shoot it in a way which I could, which was intentional. I wanted to shoot it like we weren't manipulating. Like, what they were watching was really just happening.
Yeah. And just for the layman out there, a oner is basically a one-shot. One take, right?
Yeah, it's like yeah, exactly. No cuts, just like, yeah, one shot, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, what's a oner? So my next question would be, do you do rehearsal, or do you just try to let them live in the moment? And what kind of corrections do you give? Because, I mean, when you're trying to be natural, you got to be kind of cool and slick with it and be like, you know, just tone it down a little bit, or, you know, it's not really about that in this scene, or... Did you do a lot of prep work, being a theater background person with rehearsal, or did you just kind of let them explore and rehearse on camera and then keep what you liked?
Yeah, we did. We rehearsed maybe like 3 or 4 days before shooting. Not like right before shooting, but over the course of the month ahead of time. We met 3 or 4 times and did some improv that throughout scenarios, that throughout this is where we are. We explored the relationships and... even just like hanging out and getting like, you know, lunches with Oliver and Dan and kind of building their buddy dynamic and kind of going over to Becca's house and just kind of sitting in the family room at Becca's house and like talking with Becca for a few hours with her and Oliver, just kind of talking about their lives and her history and like, you know, she grew up in that house as well and her parents owned the place before she now lives there and, you know, kind of hanging out with the dogs. Just kind of like really just getting very familiar, just having everyone get very familiar with each other. And very familiar, you know, we had like a dinner one night where like we made dinner and all the cast and, you know, the small crew came over, we all had dinner together and, you know, toasted and cheers and kind of just
cool.
Really made it really a family. You know, it's very much a family. I mean, we show up there, Becca's making us eggs in the morning when you get there at 7 a.m. You know, Oliver was living there, so he's literally sometimes I'd show up in the morning at like 7, 8 a.m. and go, you know, set up the camera and Oliver's in bed sleeping. I'd be like, dude, just stay sleeping. When I say action, I want you to wake up slowly and just get out of bed. And so, like, literally, like, the first time he gets out of bed that day is, like, on camera. You know, it was really fun to kind of really walk that.
I think I read a press quote on that. Was it in L.A. Times or IndieWire where you said, just wake up on camera?
Yeah, exactly.
When I say action?
Yeah. Exactly. It was great. I mean, I loved it. It was not only my first feature, but it was the first time I made a film that really was walking that line of kind of keeping it real, you know. And, you know, it's not a documentary. I mean, it's very much a movie in every aspect. But
sure.
Our approach still walks that line, and I love that. I mean, I love that line, you know. And, like, it was just so great to, like, be able to kind of tell a personal-ish story with some, you know, real personal friends.
Well, I think what you like and that you've kind of, you know, found your groove with is more of a situational, whether it's comedy, whether it's drama, it's more of situational experiences and circumstances, and that's how you let your characters kind of live on the screen and live with the audience. And I think it's cool how you did the whole, you know, I guess, kindling of spirits through getting people together and having dinners and stuff, because I think that's kind of where you get all those intangible qualities that you can't manufacture. You know, those are all those, you know, little wink of the eye or a little, you know what I'm talking about, that you can capture that didn't exist before they walked in the room and met each other. And
totally.
I think you definitely have discovered that.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad it comes across. And, you know, and, like, there was another, like, big idea behind this project for me, and that idea was I didn't want to feel like we were just, like, making a movie, you know? I mean, we were making a movie, but, like, you know, I directed some stuff, you know, at grad school and here and there that were kind of bigger productions, more money, you know, trucks and equipment and lights and assistant directors and video monitors and, you know, all this stuff. And I didn't want that. I mean, I was like, I really wanted to make something. You know, we didn't have a video monitor. There was no monitor on set. There was no assistant director telling us we have 5 minutes to get the shot or we're, you know, screwed. It was literally me, my DP.
Well, you had the location, so that was good.
Exactly. The location. I scheduled it myself. I scheduled it in a way that I knew it was relaxed enough where we could just, I wanted to feel like we were making a movie in the backyard again as I was a kid. You know, take it back to when I was 8, 9 years old. I wanted to feel like I was just playing in the backyard with friends, making something that we were all very passionate about. We didn't have contracts. It wasn't about money. It wasn't about, you know, this or that or, you know, it was just about being very natural and having fun and kind of making something together. And I think that mentality really allowed us to kind of make the movie what it is.
Right. Well, I think it definitely shines through. But, you know, you make it sound simple, but there's a lot of work involved in doing what you did, you know? I mean, people are like, oh, okay, cool, let's make a movie in the backyard with some of our friends. And, you know, there's truth to that, but there's a lot of preparation that goes into it before you
do that.
Sure,
and I've been studying film for years, you know?
Yeah.
I was undergrad for some of
the grad. I'm afraid everyone's going to grab a camera now and go in the backyard and make films with their friends.
I'll tell you what, though. You know what? That's the only way. I will say this, though. If they want to do that, great. Understand that it may not be a masterpiece. It may be. I mean, I even told myself that making this for a dog. Like, I said, listen, no matter what, good or bad, I'm making a feature film. You know, like, and I said, no matter what, this will be my best feature film I've ever made. You know, it was going to be my best feature film no matter what because it's my first. But, like, you know, if people want to grab a camera, go out in the backyard, like, I encourage it because that's just
Please let me clarify that. I'm not discouraging any future filmmaker by any means by saying what I just said. I'm just saying yours comes from a very educated sort of,
yes,
you know,
sure.
You've mixed the professional with taking it back old school. You've come from the MBA with your $1 million salary that we all wish we had, I'm sure. But and you've gone back to the playground and you started shooting around with your friends playing pickup games. You know, like,
right.
I mean,
right.
But you're doing it with an educated, knowledgeable, experienced
totally.
Perspective.
And everyone who's working on it, like, all my friends are working on it with me. Like, you know, I trust them. They're very smart. They're very creative people. I was in very good hands. And, like, yeah, definitely. We're definitely approaching it with the best of our knowledge. But, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Because I've seen the other people you know, kind of think it's easy when they see how effortless the final product is.
Yeah.
So when it looks that effortless, you know, I think people get, oh, well, I could do that, and they didn't really have
totally.
To do much. But there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work involved to make
work.
It look that easy and make it look that real.
Ton of work, and I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, I mean, that's –
That's the thing. I mean, you know, when you see the best of comedians and the ease and the grace in which they deliver lines and people will sit there and go, well, I can do that too. And let's be honest, that's about 90% of the people that come to Hollywood from different parts of the country, different parts of the world. This city doesn't need a tourism ad. I mean, people see it on their TV. They see it on film. And they've interviewed, you know, different polls, and 95% of the United States wants to be a celebrity, you know. So, you know, people do try to come and seek out that world because they think, I can do it too. But to be real, to be natural, take after take after take after take. And, oh, the lighting's in your way, so deliver the same line, but turn your body a little bit 1 inch, you know, and then still look natural. I think I just want to point out how professional you do your natural with ease.
Yeah, no, thanks, man, for sure. I totally, totally agree with you.
Yeah. And editing. Do you feel like a lot of the movie magic is really done in editing once it's all said and done?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I love the editing.
You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on KISO
88.7.
So much, really. I mean, you know, I not only do I edit my own stuff, I sometimes freelance and edit my other friends' films or get hired to edit something. I mean, I love the editing process. I think so much can be done in the editing. I think the editing is, I think really the editing is kind of where, you know, the movie is truly birthed in terms of, like, it, you know, you have all this great footage, you have all this great preparation, but it's just really how you use the footage, how you cut the performances that's going to make the movie go from being, it's a good movie, to that's great. You know, if a movie's great, if you walk out and say that was a great film, you got to credit the editing. I mean, like, credit everything, but the editing is that, really that mold that holds it together and allows the story to be that 90-minute, you know, that 90-minute movie that you just watched is 90 minutes because of the editing, and it's held together because of the editing. And there's so many options and, you know, decisions that are made and beats, and, like, you know, it's clarity. It's about going in there and, like, clearly presenting the film, you know, having every beat play out to its fullest potential, or cutting something that you don't need, or making sure that it moves, or the pacing is working, or you're not lingering, or that the joke plays at its fullest potential. I mean, I really, you know, I embrace the editing. I love editing, and I think, you know, it's something that I'm very passionate about, and I think so much of what makes, you know, something work just comes from, like, is the edit good or not? I mean, you can have, you know, you can honestly have so-so acting on set. You really could. I mean, you could have a couple actors who maybe aren't feeling it that day, and they give you a bunch of different options. But, like, if you can go into the editing room and just find the very best little moments, and you know what those moments are, and you're able to edit just those little best moments together, you can really establish this really strong performance, you know. And I just think the editing really is so good. What's that?
I said you eventually cut around them. You find those one or two.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden the other characters become the rock stars, but, you know, you make it compliment rather than distract.
Yes, and I think it's just, like, about knowing what is working, you know, having that sense there, and, like, you know, I mean, I such embrace the process. I really spend a lot of time. I really try everything. I spent months editing Four Dogs, and I took a few months off in between just to, like, let it breathe and sit on it. I mean, I literally, like, I go.
That's what I was gonna say. How do you get yourself out of the incubator with the blinders and hours in that dark cave, you know, to sit back and go, is this really the rhythm and the rhyme that I wanted?
I just think, it's just about having done it so much over the years. I just feel like I'm able to just be a really good judge of my own work and not be so biased. I think I can just know, like, you know, and I show a few friends, and I can get a couple honest reactions. Like, even if I show someone who, like, hey, watch a scene, and they don't know anything I'm looking for, but, like, I can just tell when they're watching it, are they checking out, are they laughing, are they smiling, what do they think? Like, just, like, little reactions, and I'm like, okay, well, that's what I thought, so I know I need to tweak this little thing or fix this little thing. And, you know, I worked very closely with my cinematographer, Todd Van Hazel, who shot the movie, who's, you know, a great friend of mine and really great at what he does, and he came over several times and would watch cuts and give me great feedback. I had no test screenings for this movie. I didn't want that. I only showed a few friends on my laptop in my, you know, in my room where I was working. I just kind of was feeling it. You know, it's kind of just like, you know, I just kind of watch it, and I just kind of know, like, you know, is this working or not? And, you know, of course, like, there are times where I show a few friends, and, like, you know, Oliver, you know, my Oliver Cooper, who, like, you know, stars in the movie, he actually produced it and wrote it with me, would watch, and you know, give me a lot of his thoughts too, and Dan, some other people. Like, I mean, I would get some feedback from people who worked on it, and if I had a question like, is this working? Like, can I hold on to this shot for so long? Is this interesting? You know, and I'd show people like, yeah, it's great, it's interesting, or it's not working at all. Cut that, it's too long. Or, you know, I would take that with a grain of salt and also make the final decisions. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a different flavor, but yeah, I mean, and I think probably because you've done it so much, there is a certain rhythm that you find as an editor where you do know, okay, I'm hanging a little too long, or you're not hanging long enough, and, you know, I've done a lot of editing myself, so I think you also find your tricks, which become part of your thumbprint, part of your creative process that people go, oh, that's his style, you know?
Exactly, and I mean, sorry, you know, I was just going to say on top of that. No, like, I mean, Four Dogs, there's not a single camera move in the whole movie. And there's actually not even that many cuts. I mean, there's more cuts in a music video than entire Four Dogs. But it's the in and out points, you know? It's like, where do you enter the scene? Where do you end the scene? Where's the in? Where's the out? And that was kind of my big thing with Four Dogs. Like, what's the in point? What's the out point? You know, and I wanted every cut to kind of, like, work. I want every cut to work, obviously. You want every cut to work, but, like, you know, with Four Dogs, like, this part is kind of like, well, where's also, because I want Four Dogs to be fun and humorous, even though it's not, like, a straight-up comedy. I wanted it to still create laughs, and I know a lot of the rhythm of the editing, kind of, like, where we kind of cut out of the middle of a scene and cut to the next scene, like, that, you know, that cut right there could create a laugh, even though we're not going for necessarily a huge joke. It's just almost a humorous rhythm with the edit at times. That took me a minute to find. You know, sometimes I was maybe not hitting that right on the beat, or wasn't using the right moment. You know, wasn't entering the scene at the right time, or wasn't exiting the scene at the right time. So it was really just finding the right in and out points for these longer takes that really, I think, allowed me to find the rhythm of the movie.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have to be ha ha funny. You know, I mean, your heroes are pretty much situational comedy, dramedy. You know, professionals. So, I mean, you would expect it to be situational funny rather than slapstick, slam on your knee, laughing, dying, you know, jokes.
Totally.
So that makes sense to me, absolutely. Where do you, you just premiered at the LA Film Fest, right?
We did. We had a world premiere at the Los Angeles Film Festival middle of June. It was a super great time. The festival was great. They were very awesome and supportive, and we had three fun screenings at that festival, and now we're kind of, screening with you guys this weekend. Catalina is our second screening, so, I mean, really, no one's really, other than the people who saw it at the LA Film Festival, no one's seen the movie yet. It's still very brand new, and we're just now starting to share it for the first time, so I'm excited for you guys to see it, and then I'm going to submit it to some other places, and ideally, you know, we can, you know, sell it and get it released, at the very least, you know, on Netflix and video on demand, so to, like, you know, order it and watch it, you know, possibly if we, you know, get, you know, a good distribution deal, we can maybe pop in a couple big screens in New York and LA, maybe a couple big cities, get on a few screens for a week or two, a couple weeks. But it's just the beginning for us to kind of start sharing the movie. I mean, we shot it almost 2 years ago in November, but now I'm really excited to kind of just, you know, share all the work that we all did and kind of hopefully let people be entertained and enjoy, you know, a good little heartfelt indie.
That's great, man. I mean, are you even thinking about the next project? I know you edited something else, the thing with Sarah, which is a feature.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are you thinking, is that yours, or were you just an editor for a friend? Or
the thing with Sarah was just, I just was brought on to edit. In fact, Michael Doniger wrote and directed that. He's now a buddy of mine, but it was his first feature that he actually also acted in. It was, and I actually started editing that before I made Four Dogs, and it was kind of, you know, part of my also inspiration just to, like, pull the trigger and make my own movie was being inspired by what, you know, Michael did and how he just went out with, you know, a limited budget and made his first film. And so it was kind of in the process of even editing that movie, I started shooting mine. And it was just kind of, you know, creative juices influencing each other. And but yeah, right now, I mean, you know, I am very interested in doing another feature. I got a bunch of little ideas that I'm workshopping and nothing specific yet, but ideally I'd love to do another film this year. And, you know, I think there's also some room to, you know, possibly take some ideas from Four Dogs and maybe elaborate that into maybe I don't know. I mean, I sort of have the idea of, like, maybe some sort of series or some sort of show that could kind of be in a similar tone to Four Dogs, you know, these lovable guys living in L.A., trying to make it in the acting world, not quite working out, kind of very situational humor and awkwardness and whatnot. But I'd love to do another indie film for sure. I'm not sure what that is yet, but hopefully sooner than later.
Sure. Well, Joe, you're definitely a passionate filmmaker. I mean, it shines through, and that's great. It's refreshing because we, we love people that put their love and passion and heart and soul into their art because it totally translates on screen.
Oh, man,
and I'm excited for the Film Society to see it. I really am.
Me too. I'm super stoked you guys are.
Everybody come out this Saturday.
Go out and see it. Enjoy it.
Hotel Metropole. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for being part of the series. And I don't think it's the last time we're going to hear about Joe Burke.
I appreciate it, man. I really do. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the film.
You're listening to Catalina Film Radio on KISO 88.7 Avalon.